Dave Meltzer here. I got to sit down with Ron Artest. Who's that? Meta World Peace, former NBA star and entrepreneur. So interesting, Meta World Peace, such a huge Michael Jackson fan that he changed his number to 37 because that's how many weeks Thriller was number one. Also, understanding the perceptions and misperceptions that most fans have about his path to the NBA. A really wild ride. Finally, how trusting a teammate got him into huge trouble with the famous Kobe Bryant. All of that and more here on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host and CEO of Sports One Marketing, David Meltzer.
This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneur The Playbook, and I'm so excited, not only because I'm a Lakers fan, but I am a humanity fan.
Absolutely.
And Meta World Peace here with me on The Playbook. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me. It's been overwhelming to be able to have this type of access to all the entrepreneurs, all these new these startups and established companies like yourself, IBM. it's great for me. It's my first really big conference. Attending it.
You know, it's interesting because I've, ran a big sports agency. Yeah. And I always say athletes live two deaths. When you stop playing and then when you actually die.
Yeah, it's true.
And the transition is not easy because you spend so much time to be the world's best at something.
Yeah.
And then people just expect, okay, you should know everything about business.
Yeah,
doctors and lawyers. They think, okay, you're a doctor, you're smart, you're a lawyer, you're the world's best athlete. You should be the best at investing in business, but it takes time.
Absolutely.
What do you use for, we are business partners.
Yes, I know, in Spice.
And then we also, I know you have your own app with Great Alo great No Malice book. And you and I, in a spiritual sense, are about empowering children.
Absolutely.
But let's talk about just the transition, the fear that you had compared to making it in the NBA and being a huge success.
Yeah.
What's your biggest fear about going into business?
Well, the biggest fear for me was first doing what I love. And I love basketball. I could easily get into coaching, which I am.
Yep.
I'm not 100% in, but I still love to be around the game. The Lakers give me the opportunity to work with the South Bay Lakers and still be involved. I was also thinking about getting my Series 7 when I was retired.
Really?
And I was like, do I want to be around numbers all day? And then I wanted to, coaching. Do I want to just coach right now? And philanthropy. Do I want to do all philanthropy, which is really hard? So one thing I decided to do was help other 501c3s. I figured if I help other established 501c3s, I can do much more work than just building my own 501c3.
Yep.
And how can I, put everything into one that I love? And it's not the best option for me, but it gives me a medium and I can accomplish everything I want to accomplish. And I felt with this app that I created was the way to get that done.
Well, besides our tremendous athletic skills between the two of us, we share one thing in common, because I get blamed for doing a ton of different things as well. And I call it the vertebrae approach.
Right.
So you can actually have, because I do philanthropy, I have the TV show, the podcast, the marketing agency with Warren.
And
everything. But what I look for are common variables where each of those things lead to the other thing.
It does.
And mentorship was what really helped me, because I was good at what I did, sports agency, and before that was technology, but to get involved in entrepreneurship and $100 million fund or running a TV show, I didn't even know what executive producer was.
Right.
Right? When I realized it was someone that could raise money, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
How do you kind of narrow this vertebrae? Because you really do it. You have great intention, but sometimes you can get in your own way. How do you narrow it, and what mentorship are you using? What people in your life are helping you with this?
Well, you got to break through the business world. When you're trying to do business and you can't solve a problem, you need a solution. How do you find that solution? Sometimes that solution is mentorship and advisory, and I figured that working with a team is the best thing for me. I remember Kobe had a shot to tie the game in Oakland, OKC, about 5 seconds left, and Steve Blake was open, and I gave the ball to Steve Blake, hoping that Steve Blake would have made the shot. He missed the shot, but it's okay. It was teamwork. I trusted Steve. Kobe was very mad at me, But it's all about trusting your team. And I feel without my team, I won't win. And I surrounded myself with great advisors and mostly founders. Because I'm founding a company. I need to surround myself with founders.
Well, I know Warren and I are excited to help as well. And that's why
Absolutely.
Part of the reason we went into our venture with our esports was we saw your name on there.
Wow.
And part of the things that we look at is we have a charity, Warren and I, Crescent Moon Foundation, for
yes.
example. And it's aligned with your philosophy because it's we don't look at the kids' grades. You
yes.
know, what we look at is, are these kids who have their own risks, their own challenges, you know, they're under, you know, underprivileged kids.
Yes.
Do they give back to their own community?
Thank you.
And so, and if they do,
thank you.
We want to invest in those. And so we give college scholarships and, you know, have Warren has for 27 years. You know, for you, your focus is really to change the world. In fact, you change your name
yeah.
to represent changing the world and
yes.
empowering others.
Yes.
How significant is it as a role model, not only for philanthropy, but in business, to show kids, hey, no matter where you come from, and you came, like I grew up with a single mom, six kids, grew up with nothing. I know
yeah.
you had the same challenges. How much does it mean to you to be successful in the business realm to show those kids that you can do anything, not just play?
Yes, yes,
playing
yes.
basketball is really a difficult thing, right? You and I both know that.
Yes.
Besides the astronaut who will be with you, Mike.
Yes, I know. Yeah,
you know, I think the next thing is to be in the NBA.
That's true. Astronaut is pretty cool.
Yeah, only 100 of them. But, yeah. you know, how do you want to build that role model and to empower kids within your vertebrae approach?
It's very important. And you said something very interesting. It's not about a kid that failed a class and you're saying you can't play on a team. It's about, are you trying to meet the requirements to pass that class? And if you're doing that, you can play on the team. That's what my app is about. You know, it's all about, it's mostly about requirements. It is open source, but to participate in the cool events that we're gonna put on for the masses, we just want you to meet the requirements. Also,
and your app's called Gradelo, right?
It's called Gradelo.
Gradelo, thank
G-R-A.
You. I'm the name butcher. It's been a common thing, so
it's
at least
fine.
I didn't butcher your name.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's really a hard name, but it's Gradelo.
Yep.
.com. And we have the iOS. We're currently raising money to build the website and then to build the Android, right? So, but even kids that grow up rich, I mentor some kids that grow up rich, and if you think about it, the youth is the youth. If a parent, a poor parent gave their child 25 cents, and the child said, hey, I want to go buy some chips, and you give the child 25 cents. A rich kid says, hey, I want to go buy the new Kanye's, and you give that child $1,000. Both of them have not learned a lesson. They didn't work for the money. They developed the same habits. Some of the kids I work with, some of the rich kids I work with, they have habits. So
yeah.
I can't forget about these young kids that are in drug rehab. You know, it's the same situation as a poor kid that's in prison, incarcerated. We help them both.
Yeah.
Some kids don't have a purpose, rich and poor.
Yeah.
And it's all about the youth, because when we're gone, we need the youth to work together. We don't need them to be separate. You know, and that's also what we're about.
You bring up a really good point. I think people are, they have misconceptions about entitlement.
Yeah.
And I have an internship program. Every summer, we bring in 30 kids. And half of them are through relationships.
Yeah.
You know, it's like in sports. This wealthy guy wants his son to work in sports for Warren and I. And half are in the 2,500 resumes that we have to go through.
Right.
And I always thought, well, you know, it's going to be unfair because, you know, these rich kids are entitled.
Yeah.
And the kids who work for it are. But what I've found is exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
That entitlement has nothing to do with how much
it.
Money you have.
It's, a rich
it's
kid
what
deserves.
You're willing to work for. So how do you, if you're rich or poor,
yes.
right? And this is my fear. You obviously have made money in your life.
Yes.
Do you have kids yet, Meta?
Four kids.
Yeah. So I have four. My biggest fear is I grew up with nothing, so it was easy to be empowered, right? I had to
right.
work for everything I have. How do you teach your own kids, when you can give them everything,
yeah.
how do you teach your own kids to value and earn what they want without, you know, the love? You know how it
yeah.
is. Like, I'd rather cut off my hand than one of my children hurt, you know? And I want them to have everything I did, but I also want them to have the fire that we had
Absolutely.
To grow up.
Well, you know, our kids can't be like us because they grew up a little bit fortunate.
Right.
And
a lot of it.
You know, a lot of it, right?
Yeah.
I understand it. So I try not to force that on my kids. If they want to listen to dad and mom, that's the best scenario. If they don't, then I let them make the mistakes on their own, they always come back to dad and mom. You know, so that's how, you know, we pretty much raise our children. I got great kids. And, you know, when I'm working with interns, I'm not really looking at anybody's demographic. It's like, what do you want to learn? You know, and where do you want to go? And by the way, I'm looking for interns that's trying to be bosses. I can't really work with an intern who's not trying to create something. Because I'm trying to create. I need all creative people around me, you know. But sometimes we'll work with anybody. But it's very important, you know, to not look at demographic, you know, or finance or economics. You know, look at the kid. And then also, there's a lot of kids that don't have access to me.
Right.
So then we go out and search for those kids that don't have access to me, and we help those kids also.
So, well, in writing the book, No Malice, right? Yep. What's the big message that you want to give to kids with this book?
Well, this book is more for me, is a release. I didn't want to do the book, by the way. Because I'm like, why am I going to do a book?
Right.
A lot of people love the book. And then I actually like the book too. And for me, it's like a release, it's open, it's honest. And I like when people know about me. You know, I have history. And some people think I got to the NBA. I was born out of my mom's womb and was in the NBA.
Yeah, given, right?
And perfect. Met Ron Artest.
Yeah.
They didn't see the stuff that happened before that. You know, it wasn't televised.
Right, yeah.
You know?
And it wasn't easy.
And it wasn't easy, you know?
Yeah.
Dysfunction in the household. Parents separating at 13. That is difficult.
Tell me about it.
You know, it's not easy. Violence, drugs, distraction, hunger, you know? And that's all stuff you bring with you. That's all baggage that I brought with me, you know, to the NBA. So, you know, Ron Artest, it's 100% me. And everything they said, yes, that's me, because that's how I grew up. And now you evolve, you get older, and that's also me too.
So, you know, in my life, I've lost a lot. I was very wealthy when I was young. I was CEO in Samsung's first phone division. I lost everything. And like you, you know, I had a pass. It wasn't given to me. I grew up with nothing. But I found that illuminating my humanness, the vulnerability of telling people, yeah, I made these mistakes,
yeah.
but I've moved on, was really freeing. And I think people started respecting me more. And I know, you know, I've seen you from Dances of Stars to Big Brothers and a variety of ways where you're really vulnerable, right? You're just, you're human and you're yourself. And I think that your brand has really risen up, because people, they don't realize when you're on the court and you're trying to win hyper competitive,
yeah.
You know, That's not necessarily your entire personality. If you get a flagrant foul or you get kicked out of a game, you have one of the longest suspensions,
and people
will just label you for one incident.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're a father, you're a community member, a philanthropist. Yeah. How do you deal with the negative perceptions that a few isolated snapshots in your life can define you? And how do you deal with that emotionally? Because we're good people.
Yeah, right.
And it's hard to take.
Well, if you're a 19-year-old kid, Ron Artest made it to the NBA. At 10 years old, I had that vision. I seen it. And it was TV. It was like fake, not reality.
Yeah.
It's very similar to watching Will Smith in Men in Black. It's TV. And I want to be on TV, but playing basketball. And when you get the negative reactions from people, and you're thinking that all people hate you. Because originally it's like all people will love me if I'm on TV.
Yeah.
But now all people hate me. But that's not the case. You know, everybody has an opinion. When you make a mistake or anything happens on TV, it's not everyone. It took me a long time to understand that not everyone hates me.
Right.
When I was going through my problems, I wouldn't talk to anybody because I'm thinking the world hates me.
Right.
So everybody that's on the street, I'm like, he hates me, she hates me. And then half of the people don't even know me. 7 billion people on the planet.
It's so true.
You know,
and that's what I like about the internet. You know, I do some stuff with Gary Vee, and
yes.
He had a great philosophy about building an engaged audience.
Yes.
And he said, you know, there's 3.2 billion people on the internet. Dave, what if 3 billion of them, out of 3.2 billion, what if 3 billion actually did hate you? Which isn't true, right? Because they don't even know who the hell I am, let alone you. But 0.2 billion loved you, were engaged and inspired by you, and you empowered them. That's 200 million people.
Yes.
In the past, even the great world leaders never could impact 200 million people. That's an entire country. And what a significant thing if you just let go of your fear that you need to be loved by everyone.
Right.
Why is it that people like us, and I know you feel it, why do you think we felt like we needed to be loved by everybody?
I think you want to be loved by everybody because you give so much love, you know? And when I was 19, I got drafted. I was given 10 scholarships a year to kids in high school, about $4,000 per scholarship. I paid for some kids to go to college, and it's like, I want to give back. And then when people hate you, it's like, oh my goodness, everybody hates me. And after all the great that I've done, I'm entitled. I deserve to be loved, you know? And it's like, that's just not the case. You know, you can't be entitled and you can't just force somebody's opinion.
When you were young, and I know there's a lot of good, honest statements about yourself, cathartic. When you were young, could you imagine telling people this about yourself?
When I was young, this is not what I wanted my life to be.
Right.
You know, I started out as a kid who wanted to be like Michael Jackson, and I wanted to be a pastor.
In fact, you took number 37 because of Michael Jackson, right?
Jackson.
37 on the number one chart?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
37
that's cool.
Weeks, number one on the chart, Michael Jackson.
Can you dance?
I can't dance.
We saw that, actually.
Dancing with the Stars right. Proved I can't dance.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I wanted to be with one girl. Forever, right? It's all these things I wanted. I wanted a family and dogs and all. It's like everything I wanted, but things don't happen how you want it all the time. And you got to be prepared. I wasn't prepared when things were starting to go wrong. I didn't face adversity. Even though I grew up poor, I wasn't able to face adversity. Because think about it. Like I said earlier, if you give a kid 25 cents and they don't work for it, they become entitled. So even though I didn't have nothing, the government fed us.
And then college scholarships.
Free food, and we're poor, but I don't have to work for anything.
Yeah.
You know, and when I faced adversity, I wasn't able to deal with it.
And now how do you feel about it?
Now, you know, I normalized myself. I started to normalize myself at the age of about, I think 29. So I want to downsize my thought process and everything. Because you know, when you're in the NBA, you always got to pull up in the Benz. You got to pull up, you got to put that watch on.
That's why I drive a Chevy Volt now. I went from a Ferrari to a Chevy Volt. So I downsized my life.
I went to a Prius.
My favorite car.
That is my favorite car.
That's awesome.
Because like before, you always feel like if you don't pull up in a Benz, then people are going to be like, this guy can't afford it.
Or, right, he's not successful.
Not cool. He's not successful. And, you know, and that's stress. Like, I want to be regular.
Yeah, I hated having a nice car. And everyone thought I was an a-hole when I drove that car. It's like, look at that guy in the Ferrari. What does he do?
Right.
All right, last question. And I'm just so happy to do this interview here at Rise.
Absolutely.
To, you know, understand we're going to do some business together.
Yes.
And we're close by in LA, so that'll be fun. What legacy do you want to leave when it's all over?
Man, you know, I think when it's all over, I want people to be able to create and set their own destiny.
Nice.
Some people don't believe in themselves. One example would be if I'm from Queens and I look at those buildings in Manhattan, I'm intimidated to go into one of those buildings and say, hey, I would love to work here, IBM.
Yeah.
It's intimidating watching those buildings. Or if you're in Detroit and you see the amount of abandoned small businesses, abandoned homes, abandoned factories, are you thinking about rebuilding that community instead of all the negative that come with it in terms of I'm growing up in this poor environment? What about rebuilding?
Nice.
Can we give our kids the tools to rebuild plumbing, electrical work, how to raise money, rebuild your block?
Nice.
Make it beautiful, see something different. And it's like that type of stuff. I think is possible. You don't have to live like that for years and years and years. And then also, I think it takes the burden off, you know, corporate America, because, you know, it's a capitalism country.
Yep.
And we want to become rich. Everybody want to become rich, but sometimes we put a lot of pressure on corporate America. We want this money. We need these grants. Invest, donate. It's a lot, right? But what about if we come to you with real ideas and the youth is coming to you with real ideas and they're rebuilding Buffalo, rebuilding Detroit, and these kids are at the forefront of that? I just think it's possible.
That's awesome. Well, anything is possible.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that you inspire others to inspire others. And I'm here to tell you that whatever I can do to help you, you know, love to look at some of your deals and see if we can partner in more.
Absolutely.
Really a thrill. This is Dave Meltzer with Meta World Peace on Entrepreneur The Playbook. Thanks for listening to The Playbook. Remember, download and subscribe. And don't forget to join us every Tuesday.